Montana's Political Practices Commissioner says a campaign mailer state Republicans are complaining about is not a problem. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Eric Whitney.
And I'm Christopher Allen. We'll also tell you about the biggest ever donation to the University of Montana's athletic department. We have a $10,000 fish story, and our campaign beat analysts break down election happenings for the last time before voting day on Tuesday.
Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices says a Supreme Court campaign mailer sent by a group supporting incumbent Justice Mike Wheat does not have the same problems as one sent by Stanford University and Dartmouth College researchers. Commissioner Jonathan Modell today dismissed a complaint by Montana Republican Party Executive Director Bowen Greenwood against the group that sent the mailer, Montanans for Liberty and Justice. Greenwood had complained the group's mailer had compared the group's mailer to the controversial Stanford and Dartmouth one that appeared to be an official document that used Montana's state seal. Secretary of State Linda McCullough called that mailer a deceitful attempt to influence the Supreme Court elections. Modell says the Liberty and Justice group's mailer is different because it didn't use the state seal and did not inject partisanship into the nonpartisan race.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock says health officials will monitor people returning to the state from areas of West Africa affected by the Ebola virus and those who may have been in contact with an Ebola patient. The procedures announced today include a twice-a-day review of symptoms. People will have to disclose their plans for work, travel, or visiting public places to determine whether those activities will be allowed. Bullock spokesman Mike Wessler says there will be no automatic quarantines. People infected with Ebola are not contagious until they have symptoms. The virus isn't spread through casual contact. Governors in New Jersey and New York have been criticized for ordering mandatory quarantines for people arriving from West African countries, where the outbreak has sickened more than 13,000 people and killed nearly 5,000.
Two men suffered burns in a propane explosion in Seeley Lake today. Seeley Lake Fire Chief Bob Vandenhuvel says a propane line was cut in the area of a construction project at about 8:20 this morning. The cause of the explosion is still being investigated, but Vandenhuvel says it appears to have happened during an effort to repair the line. One of the burn victims was airlifted to a hospital in Missoula, and Vandenhuvel said the man was going to be transferred to a Seattle hospital. A second man was taken by ambulance to Missoula. Their names haven't been released. The propane was shut off to about 120 residences. Vandenhuvel says Energy Partners crews were working Friday to repair the line.
The University of Montana has been given $7 million. The gift announced today is going to the athletic department, and it's the biggest donation in that department's history. Kevin and Kyle Washington gave the money on behalf of the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation. They're sons of the two Montana philanthropists and business moguls. University officials say the funds will be used to build a new $14 million football locker room and a student-athlete weight room. UM Athletics Director Kent Haslam says it took roughly 9 months to organize and plan exactly how such a large donation would be spent and to show the foundation why it was needed.
We'd identified this as a need, you know, quite a while ago and just had a chance to have Kyle and Kevin on campus and get them down there and show them this is the facility that we've been using for the past 20 plus years, and this is where we'd like to go with this. Our student athletes spend very little time, really, when it comes down to it, in competition. The vast majority of their time spent in these facilities that serve them, for lack of a better word, behind the house, our academic center, our weight rooms, our locker rooms, those facilities that they're in all the time.
Haslam says the 46,000-square-foot facility will give the athletes more room and centralize where students train on campus. The Montana University System Board of Regents has to approve the project before construction can begin because the funding comes entirely from private sources. The board's next meeting is in November. Haslam says he hopes to start construction as soon as possible, but it's too early to say how long the project will take.
This will be an intricate and a big project that will take some work, a lot of excavating. A lot of it will be subterranean. We'll be tying back into the tunnel that takes the team down onto the field. So I hate to put an exact timeline on a groundbreaking, but we want to move as quickly as we can as soon as we get approval from the Board of Regents.
The foundation has given more than $150 million to the university since it was established in 1988.
college applicants in Montana may be able to apply to schools for free next week. All Montana University System, private and tribal institutions will defer or waive their application fees in what they're calling College Application Week. The idea is to encourage more high school graduates to enroll in higher education. Seniors at participating high schools will get help filling out applications with help from school staff members or volunteers from November 3rd through the 7th. Campuses can defer or waive the fee depending on the income eligibility of a student's family. Seniors from 84 high schools submitted more than 1,700 applications during a similar event last year. About 30% of those applications were from low-income or first-generation college students. 138 high schools have signed up to participate.
Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and hosted by Montana Public Radio's senior news analyst, Sally Mock.
Well, Mike, Stanford and Dartmouth are supposedly sending out a mailer to Montana voters apologizing for a previous mailer that was supposedly a voter research project, but that looked like an attempt to influence the nonpartisan state Supreme Court races. But even with this apology going out, the damage is done, isn't it?
Yeah, the damage is done in terms of kind of injecting some more partisanship into this race. And I guess I might be more concerned if the same stuff hadn't already been going on a very high level. We already have, you know, outside groups spending tons of dough in this race on both sides. And when we say outside groups, you mean groups that are not the candidate, but in some regard, they are truly outside groups from outside the state. Some of them from inside the state. And then we have this study, which is kind of just another little rock being thrown in the pond, a really weird one that goes out to 100,000 people saying that Mike Weed is like Barack Obama and Lawrence Van Dyke's opponent is more like Mitt Romney. Like I said, it's already going on out there. They're already trying to paint Mike Weed as this liberal judge who's just out of control, and Van Dyke is the upstanding conservative there to interpret the law just the way it should be.
One of those ads that is out there is from the group Americans for Prosperity, and in fact they have more than one. And let's listen to the latest one they have, and this is an ad that attacks the incumbent Justice Mike Wheat.
How do the votes of politician Mike Wheat compare to the votes of Supreme Court Justice Mike Wheat? You decide. As a politician, Wheat voted against lower taxes. On the Supreme Court, he did it again. As a politician, Wheat voted against private property rights. On the Supreme Court, the same thing. As a politician, Wheat voted against domestic energy development. On the Supreme Court, you guessed it. Call Mike Wheat and tell him to keep his extreme politics out of the Montana Supreme Court.
And this, Mike, is the same theme that the anti-Wheat factions continue to hammer, and that is that he is a, quote, liberal activist judge.
Yes, and this ad, Americans for Prosperity, let's talk about what they are. This is a group that was begun, I think, about a decade ago by the Koch brothers who own Koch Industries, you know, very conservative, libertarian businessmen who have poured millions upon millions of dollars into forming organizations like this to influence politics in the way that they believe. And this group also doesn't have to report the money that it collects or spends because it's quote-unquote issue advocacy. It says, call Mike Wheat. You know, but it's clearly a campaign ad. We all know that it is trying to trash Mike Wheat. And as far as the content, I don't know where I'd even begin to talk about how misleading it is. On the high court, you don't vote for high taxes or vote for against property rights. You decide cases. But, you know, this is politics where the truth in 30 seconds really don't coexist in the same room. So that's the way it goes.
And Mike Wheat also has an ad out saying these groups are trying to buy a seat on the court, but his supporters are also putting a lot of money into ads as well, the Montana trial lawyers, for example.
That's right. And in fact, you know, the people who are spending money to try to defeat Wheat say, hey, the trial lawyers group is spending money forever trying to elect and get judges that they like. And that's true. And the main difference I would point out, though, is that the quote-unquote trial lawyers, and they're not all trial lawyers, but most of them are, they're from Montana. Most of them are from Montana. The people funding these other groups, these are giant corporations, people we don't even know who they are. So that is a difference.
And Chuck, in the U.S. House race between Democrat John Lewis and Republican Ryan Zinke, Lewis has what I would call a provocative new ad out. Let's hear that.
The job is congressman, not commando. That's why newspapers across Montana agree John Lewis is the best choice for people who want to change. Firmly grounded in his Montana roots, Lewis will cut government spending and focus on bringing in jobs. Strict ideology has paralyzed Congress, while Ryan Zinke is too wedded to the party line to represent all Montanans. John Lewis will get Congress working for us again.
I'm John Lewis, and I approve this message.
And Chuck, in this ad, Lewis is going directly after Zinke's main selling point that he's a former Navy SEAL, saying Montana needs, quote, a congressman, not a commando. That's a catchy phrase.
Yeah, it's a catchy phrase and a really good counterpoint, maybe a little late in the campaign to do it. But virtually every ad that Zinke has had from the start last winter, he's showed the photos of him in a SEAL uniform or someone in a SEAL uniform with the SEAL trident. And to be honest, I think that's his the selling point he's trying to sell as far as getting people to vote for him, that he's a Navy SEAL and he's showed leadership in the SEALs. This is a good attack. The job is congressman and not commando. It may be too late in the campaign. A lot of people have already voted, but I think it's a pretty good ad by Lewis, and we'll see what it does.
Meanwhile, Chuck, Mr. Zinke has released more of his military records. The Democratic Party had insinuated that some records that hadn't been released would reveal something very negative about Mr. Zinke. But in fact, his overall military service is quite stellar.
Yes, he released nearly 40 of these fitness reports, and they're done annually or when a new commander comes in or when a person is transferred. There was one in June of 99 where he was marked down in two categories. It's mentioned in the write-up that it's a reference to the travel matters. But the same report is full of high praise for him and said he should be promoted. All the reports before that and after that are the same in terms of providing praise, glowing praise, you know, one of a kind, one of my best officers, you know, promote this man, send him to War College, maybe he'll be an admiral. So, you know, I think Zinke, by releasing him, takes away some of the arguments against that. But it may have been too late. As we've said, a lot of people have already voted.
Another thing that has come out quite recently, Mike, in the U.S. Senate race is Amanda Curtis's second TV ad.
I'm Amanda Curtis, and I'm your next United States Senator.
I grew up in a working-class family in Billings, and I understand the problems we face.
My opponent, he just doesn't get what real working Montana families' lives are like.
We have to fight against privatizing Social Security, selling our public lands, and letting healthcare companies deny us coverage. I'm Amanda Curtis, and I approved this message.
And Mike, Curtis is trying to paint her opponent, Republican Steve Daines, as out of touch with the average Montanan.
Well, that's been the campaign theme from the beginning, that Curtis and the Democrats saying, here's another millionaire running for Congress, and we're just the average folks running for Congress, so you should vote for us. I guess that's a message that might resonate with some, but you know, the problem for Amanda Curtis is that nobody knows who she is. I mean, she's been campaigning for, you know, like 10 or 11 weeks. I bet if you went out and asked the average person on the street who's running for the U.S. Senate, I bet at least half of them couldn't even name her. And she's being outspent probably 10 to 1 by Daines. And we all know that this is going to be probably a pretty good year for Republicans at the ballot box in Montana and across the nation. And so I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference what type of ad Amanda Curtis runs at this point.
I think the most effective ad running right now is an ad opposing LR 126, which would end same-day voter registration in Montana. And this ad features veteran Tommy Parker of Ronan.
I was in Afghanistan for almost 4 months. As a little kid, a little kid, I wanted to be a soldier. I decided to join the service because I wanted to do something that could potentially help other people and benefit other people. The right to vote is the basis of freedom. I don't get why politicians would want to make it harder for people in Montana to vote. As a veteran, nothing says more about freedom than the right to vote. That's why I'm voting against LR 126.
And Mr. Parker lost both his legs and part of a hand in Afghanistan. And Chuck, he's so genuine in this ad and so very effective.
Yes, Sally. The ad shows him rolling down the street in a wheelchair with the Mission Mountains in the background. I think this is one of the best ads I've seen in the campaign. Very powerful, talking about, you know, the most fundamental right we all have, the right to vote. And I think it's a really dynamic, dynamite ad.
Mike, midterm off presidential year elections don't normally draw big turnouts. But if Democrats want to pull any upsets in this election, that's what they need.
Absolutely. And I don't know if they're going to do it. I mean, I was just talking today to Secretary of State Linda McCulloch, the chief election officer in the state, a Democrat, asking her about the absentee ballots coming in and the turnout. And she said, you know, it's an off-year election. I don't expect it to be much better than previous off-year elections. 2010, when the Democrats got wiped out in Montana, the turnout was, 56%. And then 2006, when John Tester ran and was a big race against Conrad Burns, still only 63% turnout compared to the presidential year, which was in the 70s. So they've got a lot of work cut out for them. And they don't have a race at the top of the ticket that's really exciting people. You know, the U.S. Senate race is pretty much over. The House race, that could be close, but it's not terribly exciting. So it's going to be very tough, I think, to get a turnout much above average.
Well, we'll see if any of the candidates have any last-minute tricks up their sleeves this Halloween weekend. And want to remind everyone that Montana Public Radio will have full live election night coverage on Tuesday. And don't forget to vote. And Chuck and Mike will convene again next Friday and talk about the winners and the losers. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
Yes, don't forget to vote.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and hosted by Montana Public Radio senior news analyst Sally Mock. We hope you'll join us next week. And don't forget, Campaign Beat is available to listen to and share on our webpage at mtpr.org.
A Stevensville man is $10,000 richer because of a 10-inch fish he caught in Flathead Lake. Every spring and fall since 2002, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes have held the Mac Days fishing tournament, offering lots of prizes to anglers. The tribes do it to help reduce the number of non-native mackinaws, or lake trout, in the lake because they're crowding out native fish like bull trout and West Slope cutthroats. Biologists put microchip tags in a lot of the lake trout, and when someone catches one, the tag can be scanned, and some of the tags are worth money. Over 5,000 fish have tags worth $100 or $200, and there are a few fish worth $1,000 or more. But only one fish, anglers called him the General, was worth $10,000, and Felix Gauchi, a 62-year-old retiree, caught it last weekend.
Well, I brought it in my cooler, and actually I didn't realize that the fish was even tag because it was such a small fish. I never dreamed that they tag such a small fish. So the fellow Gilbert that checks the fish in says, oh, this looks like it might be tagged. And he felt for this microchip tag in the cheek. And sure enough, it did have a tag. And then the woman who runs it down there, Cindy, she scanned it and she looked on a computer and couldn't believe her eyes. And then she made an announcement to everybody that was in there that I just caught the $10,000 fish and took a picture of me in total amazement. Second picture, I even kissed the fish. I was so excited.
Gauchi is a serious Mac Days competitor. He's in the hunt for the prize for the most fish caught since the tournament started in September. He'd caught nearly 600 lake trout by yesterday. And as happy as he is that he caught the General, landing a $10,000 fish is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Gauchi. He won that kind of money in a Mako shark fishing tournament in his native New York 15 years ago.
Well, the fight was more exciting with the Mako because they jump 10 feet out of the water and they twist and tumble sauce. And actually, it was a small Mako. It was only 136 pounds. But I beat the next contender by 3 pounds, and I came into the weigh-in station 2 minutes to deadline. So that's a story in itself.
How much do you think your $10,000 lake trout weighed?
Ounces. It was 10 inches long. It couldn't have weighed 3/4 of a pound. That's about it.
This fall's Mac Days tournament runs on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through November 16th. Any fish caught that anglers don't want to take home are processed, frozen, and sent to area food banks.
And now for your Halloween weekend weather forecast. There's a winter storm watch in effect from Saturday afternoon through Sunday evening for most of our listening area. West of the Divide tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain. Lows in the 30s to lower 40s. Saturday, mostly cloudy with rain. Highs in the 50s. And Sunday, rain and snow likely in the morning. Highs in the upper 30s to mid 40s. And in central Montana tonight, partly cloudy, lows 35 to 40. Saturday, mostly cloudy again with a slight chance of rain. Highs 50 to 60. And Sunday, cloudy and colder with a good chance of snow and rain. Highs 35 to 40 degrees. And in southwest Montana tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 35 to 40. Saturday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain showers throughout the day, with some possible thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs 55 to 65. And Sunday, cloudy, with patches of snow, highs 30 to 40 degrees. And that's our newscast for this Friday evening. If you have a comment about any of the stories you've heard tonight, you can post it on our website at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Christopher Allen.
And I'm Eric Whitney. Thanks for listening and have a nice and safe weekend.